With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Two semifinals last night, Doug. One a game for the ages, the other not so much.
Yeah, it was hard to watch that second game.
You like Saban
first
a lot.
The first one was so good.
Really was.
I'm not a big fan of Saban, though.
Chiefs and Titans Saturday.
You see how the... Well, I'm sure you did. How the Ravens got knocked out of the playoffs?
Yes. I've got a little wagering story on that, but first I've got Ryan Kelly, and he wants to tell you the what's what and the who's who. Happy New Year, Ryan.
Happy New Year, gentlemen. Let's see, who had the best New Year's out of the three of you? Anybody do anything exciting, anything fun?
I went to Paul Mono's and hung out with my lovely wife and young Tyke. The cat. What did you do?
We went to a friend's house till like 10. And then went home so we could...
be with Tyler?
Tyler was there with him. We went to our friends.
All right.
They got kids, too. Okay. But we like to just kind of chill and watch the ball drop and have a little champagne.
And then Ryan, Doug went to a bathhouse.
No, I didn't. I went to the Westport Comedy Club.
Is that now a bathhouse, Doug?
It's not a bathhouse. Nothing about
it. The new bathhouse.
It isn't a bathhouse. It's an above-board comedy. They work a little raw there.
We're lucky to have you as our title sponsor. We really are.
Yeah. My New Year's Eve looked a lot like the cat. Unfortunately, it was nothing like Doug's. I would have rather been in a bathhouse. But, boys, I want to wish you all a great year. You know, we put 2017 behind us. It wasn't the easiest year for a lot of folks. It was a record year here at the Home Loan Expert, but we fought like hell for that. We raised a lot of money for a lot of good organizations. We closed a lot of loans. We took great care of a lot of clients. Pushed our way all the way through the last day of the year. We were in the office. And I mean, 85% staffed all the way through the holidays. There's something to be said when only 1.5 out of every 10 employees actually take time off through the holidays. And we needed it this year. We needed to find our way all the way through the last year we did. And about 2 days before the end of the year, we broke our record, previously held last year's record for most loans closed. We beat it this year in a hard year when a lot of companies in my industry didn't make it through. So we're proud of ourselves for that. And we're looking forward to 2018. We are going to try to beat all of our records for most loans closed and, of course, for giving back. Last year, we raised a lot of money for local charitable organizations, and well over $100,000. We're totaling and tallying that up right now. But this year, our goal is to, you know, raise $250,000 or personally donate $250,000, kind of a combo between the two, for several different local charitable organizations, Three Little Birds for Life, Friends of Kids with Cancer, Cardinal Glennon, Backstoppers, some of our big ones come to mind. And I'm looking forward to a great year. Trying to stay off that nicotine this year. Man, I love Chew. I love Jules. I love it all. And keeps me calm. So we'll see how I do. There's my New Year's resolution. I think it's been the same one for like 12 years. Let's see if I can actually do it this year. And I'll leave it with this. Happy New Year's, boys and girls. If you're looking to refinance or buy a home, call the Home Loan Expert office. We're ready for you right now. We're in the office, fully staffed today, 314-781-9700, or anytime online at thehomeloanexpert.com. Gentlemen, have a great
Wait, 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 Ryan, I want to say something. I think I can speak for everyone on the dais here, that we wish you continued success in 2018, another broken record. And then if you're lucky, sir, next New Year's Eve, you and Doug could be at a bathhouse together.
I wasn't at a bathhouse. It's like
If I could close 5,000 loans this year, and we won't say that's my goal, but if it was, I would go to a bathhouse with Doug and celebrate his style of New Year's. No
I've never been to a bathhouse in my long life.
Here's hoping. Thank you, Ryan.
Doug, do we go at night, like New Year's Eve in the bathhouse?
I wouldn't even know where they are.
In the bathhouse.
He doth protest.
I've never been to one.
You've
I don't
never
even
been
know
to,
if they so have one in St.
So you're saying right now you were not at a bathhouse 2 days ago?
I was not. I went to the comedy club at Westport. Mm. There was witnesses who saw me. Mm.
I've always heard that when you go to a bathhouse, you don't really talk about it. You use the word comedy club, whatever
That's right.
And it kind of throws people off.
Yep.
We're in my live long
life. I'm going to let you guys go. My humor's not any good. I'm going to close the loans, and I better get on these phones and get that working. Boys, thank you very much. Thank you, the cat. And I know we'll all four have great years this year, everybody involved in the show, everybody involved in the mortgage business, because we're all winners. There you go. Thanks, guys. Have a great year.
Thanks, Ryan.
I can confirm Doug was indeed at a bathhouse. He was throwing out Matt Who Bowls at Hank's lines like, send in the bottoms because daddy's still hungry and call me your naughty little Vespa.
I've never said such a thing.
That's from the I'm a submissive bottom.
What's a Vespa? Isn't a Vespa like a little motorbike?
It's a moped.
Why do you say that?
A Vespa moped.
Painting Doug's pork chops with my meat brush.
Okay, these things shouldn't be said.
You can get involved in the radio program. There are a couple ways. It's kind of fun. 855-282-8255. Save that on your phone. Call in. It's a press conference Tuesday where you can call in with questions.
About the new year.
Right. And then you can also text in at 855-282-8255. You can save it as 855-CUB-TALK. That's how you can get involved. And then also you can email in for the Hot Shots email of the day, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. That's how you can get involved in the radio program and win a suspension special at Hot Shots. Brand new email month. Did Stephen Wildwood win last January or was it Misty Plops?
Plops, I believe.
Stephen Wildwood?
I don't remember. I put all this in the rearview mirror as soon as I leave here.
But January last year was like crazy because I think Stephen Wildwood had a big lead, but then maybe Plops surged. Can you look back on that next?
I've got the suspension.
And
log
I do here. Have a tease that Cucky told me at his holiday party or his New Year's Eve bash that he ain't going to be a big participant in the 2018 email of the day.
Wow, he's going to try and take the crown. The Seamaster sent out the stats crown. On the email of the month winners. Kind of fun to see who did well. In 2017. Kind of fun.
Well, we all do well by listening to these emails because some are. Are downright hilarious, Tim.
Cucky at least provides an occasional construction tip, which I appreciate. The others, I don't know what good is in any of these other emails.
Well, they're comedy.
Well, that's debatable as well.
Misty Plops had 58 wins in 2017. Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech, kind of a surprise. His over-under in Vegas was set at 14.5, and he just shipped it. 33 wins. Stephen Wildwood, 23 wins. Kind of interesting, though, that... no wins in the fourth quarter of 2000.
He kind of stopped.
I wonder what that, but he, yeah, so there.
He probably got arrested. They probably finally closed in on him.
Cucky the Dwarf,
the slammer.
Matt Who Bowls at Hank's, Mr. Nipples and Tunnels, all in the teens. You would feel like Tunnels had a bigger year than he actually did. But in January of last year, I was wrong. It was Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech, and then Misty Plops won 4 months in a row before Stephen Wildwood ended it. And then you saw those kind of go back and forth like Alabama and Crimson.
Where are you getting these stats? Are you just making them up?
You can go to baseballreference.com or the Sea Monster Twitter feed.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, Sea Monster charts this stuff. It's important.
Why would you? Why is it important?
We're the show of record.
Yeah.
Record
for the
what?
Greater St. Louis area
when
proper.
We're giving out Hall of Fame jackets, you need to put stats by the listeners and the emailers or it just doesn't make sense. Like, Misty Plops, why are we honoring him? Oh, yeah. In 2017, he won 60 emails.
Right. Maybe that's what we should do in 2018 is actually establish a listener Hall of Fame. And when we have these live events, every now and then we can award someone a Hall of Fame
What about
jacket.
That wall right out there? You get a bronze placard.
Wow. When patrons show up at the patio of the Kirkwood Brew House, they would see a picture of a gentleman in a gimp mask who has won 60 emails in 2017.
Mm-hmm. I say we hang him in the Cuck studio.
That wouldn't be a bad spot for him.
That's kind of enclosed. Can we put their picture up on the wall?
I think we nominate 8 to 10, maybe, and then pick two a year or two every other year. You know,
what's the criteria?
Not saturate it, but you know, you pick one or two a year, and the criteria is.
Cool. Well, how about this? You get a guy like, you remember Bobby with the perm. He had like a 2 month period, but it wasn't an extended. He was sort of a flash in the pan. Would he be good enough to crack the Hall of Fame?
You got to have guys like Swope, Nipsey, some of the historians that can vote similar to like the baseball writers do. We can't decide just by ourselves. I think we need a team, a committee.
A jury of their peers.
Yes.
What about maybe that 50-year-old intern we had?
Evil David Letterman is an honorable mention in my book for the 3 days he had.
He can't be a Hall of Famer with that run.
Maybe he can be the speaker.
And they definitely we need to find some gold jackets or something at Goodwill or wherever we could shop and pick up some cheap jackets so that a Hall of Famer could wear the gold jacket whenever they show up at an event.
Somebody putting on a gold vest and Misty was wearing a gimp mask and Larry's in the back eating wings. It'd be a good pick.
Yeah, that's got some potential there.
This will be good news. I quit my old office job in September. Now I can work from home so that I can finally dedicate myself to winning fried food gift certificates. Thanks. Doug, that's from Cooking with Mike Kitchen.
Well, yeah, you might get a meal a week or so that way. Come up with a clever email.
This Listener Hall of Fame has legs. It's just another thing that we say we're going to do that we never will. We'll forget about it in 20 minutes.
Annual dinner, you know? Just do you have your Hall of Fame luncheon every year?
Can you imagine what the stories that's what they say in Canton. The stories that are told. Can you imagine the stories that'll be told at our Listener Hall of Fame dinner?
Yeah.
We could also set up little booths and charge like $5 per autograph where the listeners can get autographs from the Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Raise money for a good cause.
Yeah, claim it's for charity.
I would like to, in the year 2018, one event I would like to see happen. Besides Lisa Ann.
Girl Next Door contest?
No, that is going to happen.
So you and a couple of your buddies could sit bedside and snack on popcorn.
Nothing wrong with that, is there?
No.
I would like to do a TMA roast.
TMA roast.
We have to pick somebody to roast. I think that'd be fun.
Well, who's going to roast?
We'll put it together.
Well, no excitement there. So.
That's like work. You'd have to think of things to say and everything.
Well, you don't have to be part of it if you want to bitch about it.
I wrote some jokes for Klein when they roasted La Russa.
Oh, yeah?
I did. Because I was a little mad that the baseball writers didn't ask me to roast La Russa. Because I would have enjoyed that.
Do you remember one of your jokes?
Can't remember. It's a long time ago, Doug. Years.
I wrote some for Costas when they roasted Bernie. I gave him maybe the biggest line of the night.
Let's hear it.
He said, I told him to say it, because everybody knows Costas carries a baseball card of Mickey Mantle in his wallet. And I said, here's what you say. And he said it. Everybody knows I carry a Mickey Mantle card in my pocket. Bernie carries one of Chef Boyardee. Brought the house down.
It did?
He used it.
It sounds like an old Johnny Carson joke.
Yeah, because no one eats Chef Boyardee anymore.
Don't you ever eat beefaroni, Jeff?
Sure I did.
Yeah. I had like a 6 month stint in college. I can't smell ravioli from Chef Boyardee without just about gagging. Right? Oh, it was a rough time.
Is that still out there? I don't think I've seen Chef Boyardee.
But I mean, as food has gone up in price, Chef Boyardee, I think, is still at 99 cents.
Well, that's probably very popular. 300 fans showed up here at the Spreckles Theater tonight. They had plenty to say. Now, the Spreckles, you may know, is named after a sugar magnate. But there was nothing sweet about how this forum started.
I like that kind of writing.
Mine was funnier.
Doug, do you think the Rat and Bloomsdale would get in on the Veterans Committee? The big boss.
Maybe, because I think he's dead. I mean, he hadn't written in 8 years.
I mean, we would have like memorials for, you know, the ones that we maybe didn't get in, but dedications to loyal.
I mean,
to
you
being
feel like
listener.
Who was the first member of baseball's Hall of Fame? Was it Babe Ruth?
Hannes Wagner and Hannes Babe Ruth and Walter Johnson and
so
Ty
I mean,
Cobb.
Deke Dotem has to be the first member.
No, he doesn't. He's suspended indefinitely. He would not get in. He's not eligible.
When the show
like Barry
was,
Bonds.
When the show was good,
right?
When Martin was on it. Did we do email of the day? Was that something that started from the beginning? I can't remember.
Where's Swope? He would know. I don't know. Doug, do we do email of the day then? Or
hell, I never listen to this stuff.
Swope, we need to know that because that will depend how many how many vests, how many Hall of Fame vests we have to buy.
I'm actually thinking like an NFL Hall, like you have the whole day and you got family up there speaking, former coaches.
Can you imagine family showing up?
And it can't be a jacket. It's got to be something stupid like a vest.
These people don't have families. They're all drifters.
And there'll be a nice buffet with maybe a couple of pastas.
Ooh!
Muscatoli, probably. Maybe a meatball.
A big bowl of punch, right? Yeah. Maybe a little salad.
So I think 2018 definitely needs to be the first year of the Hall of Fame class.
It's going to be a big year.
Yeah.
Like Misty Plops is a Hall of Fame.
He could be a contender.
I would say so.
Not a contender. I mean, well, he might be the definition of he's been doing it at a high level for a long time. Who compares?
He would have to be voted in by a blue ribbon panel.
Blue ribbon panel.
You know what? I also think that Daddy Padre would
deserve
consideration for the backup goalie wing of the TMA Hall of Fame.
I wouldn't think so. No.
I mean, Plops, basically, he's like once-in-a-generation type emailer.
I agree with that.
When you look at a quarterback and you go, this is a can't-miss prospect, I mean, this is what you think about when you're voting in your first ballot Hall of Famer. It's, you know, Misty and then the field.
And then think about if there was no Misty, we'd be talking probably with the same reverence of Bill Pullman.
Yeah.
But now you compare him to Misty.
That's interesting.
So the first class should probably, there should probably be a Mount Rushmore. There's probably four people, so we can call it the Mount Rushmore.
I would say three or four for sure for the first year, yeah.
Guys, when I go in, my ex-girlfriend would love to speak and let everyone know how much she hated me texting into the show. Thanks. That's from Dave in St. Peter's.
That'd be a common theme.
Doug, is Dave in St. Peter's?
He calls himself a Hall of Famer. I don't know if that gets you in.
Big Al says, I best be HOF, bitches.
But he doesn't email.
He's a contender, though. He's a contender.
All right, let's start doing a budget. So we're going to need about 25 gold vests.
Right.
So that's...
What are we going to do for the bus?
400. Yeah, like, we're going to have to get a... We're going to get an artist to do a sculpt.
You've worked with clay quite a bit in your pottery studios. Can't you whip something up?
Now you're talking.
I'll handle that.
That'll only be $6,000. I'll do it at cost.
You take your two fingers and you poke the head in the face, and there's the eyes, and you pinch a little nose, and they're ready to go.
What about the glazes?
You can glaze it if you'd like.
There's also a small kiln fee that I'll have to use.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
$4,000. So we're up to $10,000 for the sculpture.
Nice.
That's fair.
That's reasonable.
I'm just thinking about the first row, you know, when Misty's giving a speech. You know, that first row is for family, usually.
Sure it is.
You have Jay Jr. there. You got Larry. You got Big Al in his purple jersey or a Raiders jersey. And you got Swope being a Shutter Spook. I think that is
Dougie and Kay will be carrying this ceremony?
Sure they would. Absolutely they would.
That'd be
they carry live?
Oh, I would think so. Satellite trucks, the works.
That'd be embarrassing. Cucky's got 10 family members, and I had nobody at the Brentwood High School Hall of Fame.
Not a soul?
No, my niece came.
Okay, there's someone.
Well, it's because I ran out of Los Lonely Boys tickets, so she couldn't go, so she came to the induction.
Whoa. Yeah, but you still have that Hall of Fame. You're in. It doesn't matter that your family didn't care enough to show up. You are a Brentwood High School Hall of Famer, sir.
That'd be embarrassing. One family member for that. And I email the day Hall of Fame, and he's got 10 people in the front row.
Well, we haven't done it yet.
Cucky's wife comes up on stage and talks about how, you know, him starting emailing has changed the lives of him and her and her family.
I don't think
you'll
hear that.
Oh. Guys, just could we make a mold of the Hall of Famer's taint?
No, we're not.
If not, I'd like my mold to be of Mr. Yuniyoshi.
You could just get like
Dogtown Astrovan. I guess he's going in too.
I guess you could just get vials of like, and you put like a couple shrubs from each.
No.
Have like a shrub bust.
No.
It's cheap because vials are like 10 cents.
This needs to be a Mount Rushmore. We need four of these clay heads each year. This is a Hall of Fame class.
That's going to take a huge hit to the budget.
So we can keep the Mount Rushmore theme alive.
Guys, give me 5 years and I'm hoping I will be there. That's from Timmy the Tickler. Do you see him as being in?
I don't see him as a contender.
His trajectory is good. It's very good.
I mean, the more active his wife gets, the more he's probably going to get in.
I don't think he's going to get in.
Couple more robin feeding sessions. Yeah, you could see him on the third ballot. Sure.
Yeah, I have to go back to something. Did you really think your family would show up at a high school Hall of Fame?
No, I didn't.
Sure. Right. Why wouldn't they? What else were they doing that night?
They all went to Los Lonely Boys.
Would your family fly in from out of town for this?
Do we know they're all out of town?
I would be embarrassed. Hey, I'm getting inducted into the Nyack High School Hall of Fame. Hey, Drew, can you fly in from L.A.?
Well, not everybody.
Hey, Gideon, can you come in from the coast?
This is St. Louis, where most people's relatives live within a mile of where they are.
It's the High School Hall of Fame.
No, I had, it was the same. I almost didn't go.
Oh, come on.
I really wanted to see Lost and Lonely Boys. I hadn't seen them in 5 years.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
It was
sakes.
The same night, and they had comped me 10 tickets and meet and greet passes. So I gave my, I had to find out how many seats I needed for the Hall of Fame. So I just texted everybody, and I said, all right, I said, I need to know who's coming to the induction. And also, I have 10 tickets to Lost and Lonely Boys with meet and greet. And they all took the Los Lonely Boys tickets.
Your family did.
Yeah, there was not enough for Jess, so Jess came.
Did you have to give a speech?
I did.
What did you say?
Yeah, kind of a tongue-in-cheek.
And they gave you a placard?
No, a medal.
So all your family but one decided to go to this concert instead of...
I don't blame them. I almost went to the concert.
Huh.
But they said I had to be there.
You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
No.
Are you a Kirkwood Hall of Famer?
No.
No, so there
why
you go.
Why do you say no like Could that?
Be. Well, Kirkwood's
who else
a,
they got?
Kirkwood's a big school. They've had a lot of impressive people go
You're
through
impressive.
There. Yeah.
How long you
I'm
been?
I'm on this show. This is what I do.
How long you been on television in this town?
29 and a half years.
Okay, that's Hall of
that
Fame material
get you in.
Right
that's
there.
Just showing up for work.
What are you doing on your 30th anniversary, bro?
Nothing.
What?
Yeah, working probably. Oh, that's just showing up for work.
Is it
that's
possible that
the
there's a producer working behind the scenes to do a Doug Vaughn 30th anniversary special?
No, that's not possible.
What if I contacted absolutely. A producer and you see if we could see if the show, the radio show, could
wow,
do some special
wow,
on set for you?
Wow.
No, I don't think that's necessary. We do the news there. We don't. We
I know,
don't
but
pat
I go,
our own
then
backs.
You go, Doug. Before we toss it over to weather. Special celebration. Congratulations on 30 years on television in St. Louis. And we have your radio partners. And Tim brings out a big basket of fries. I present you with a new pair of chaps. Mm. It'll be a nice thing for the viewers.
I had good fries this weekend, by the way.
Oh, wow. Where? Boy, this is huge.
Duffy's in downtown Kirkwood.
Oh, I like that place. Got a good cheeseburger
had
there,
good
too.
Good fries.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a chicken sandwich there. Oh, it was marvelous.
Thank you. Thank you for the delicious fries.
Yeah, they were good fries. Yeah, they were noteworthy.
Actually, last night, before we started watching college football, Tyler said, can I get a cheeseburger? I said, do you want to go to Five Guys? He said, sure. So the guy gave me a little tip. I was going to get two cheeseburgers, two fries. The guy said, hey, you get a large fry, I'll fill the bag. It's cheaper than two small.
Did he say that with his hand on
yeah,
the side
like
of
little,
his face?
Yeah, like a little
so
secret.
No one else would hear it.
But I
guess I'd go In and Out, Steak and Shake, Five Guys. The French fries are tough to beat, really, at all of them.
They give you a bag, though, that's like we could have had 10 people couldn't finish those fries, dog.
Really? Well, that's a nice gesture there on their part. And then they tip you off on the way to save
you know,
a little coin.
You know, because you can get a T-shirt from In and Out. For under $20, and that T-shirt will survive nuclear war. It'll last forever. I mean, I still have them, and that thing—you can't wear them out. They're awesome. I mean, they're thick and they're solid.
You get a T-shirt or
under $20?
I've never been to In-N-Out Burger.
It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Where's the one here? We even have one here?
No, it's a West Coast thing.
West Coast,
yeah,
West
boy,
Coast.
I've never been.
Don't take a picture of their operation though on your cell phone. They will. Why? They will be angry at you.
What?
You take a picture of the people working there?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And okay. And the guy came over and he said, hey, you can't do that. And I was like, oh, okay. I'll just do it one more time. I don't think you're going to really take my phone away. They don't have the authority to do that. They don't like you taking pictures.
Why not?
I don't know.
Huh.
I like an In-N-Out burger. Yeah. And Olive and Oak if I ever had it.
Yeah, we're still waiting to taste that, aren't we?
Yeah, we got to get that in.
Boy, on a cold morning, it'd be a nice taste test. Nice time to test.
It would really enhance the flavors, wouldn't it?
We went to that Shake Shack on Friday.
How was that? How long did you have
I've
to wait to get
before.
In?
It's great.
I'll tell you, here's the pro tip. In a way, I almost don't want to. It's kind of like some wagering tips. I kind of just want to keep them to myself, and so I will. But regarding Shake Shack, you know, I have to give credit to, you know I'm going to give credit to, Doug? Billy Shack Lady.
Oh, yeah. Okay, the golfer.
That's right. And he posted on the fan page that the move is to use the app, very easy to use,
And now you got to know you're going to be going. So we knew we were going to go in the middle of the afternoon because we didn't want to be there at lunchtime or dinner time with Jameson. And who knows how he would be behaving at the time, being 4 months old, and plus it being cold and everything, that if you order, you can order 2 hours out, and then you just walk in, and the food is sitting there ready for you.
At the table?
Not at the table, but at where you pick up your food.
Takeout.
Do you have a table, or is it takeout?
I went to pick up the food. Anna Marie got a table, and we sat there, and we had Shake Shack.
Well, what a treat that must have been.
So that's the move. That's
really
the way
good.
That's the way, and it truly is.
It's really good.
Now, what happens when you start discussing food, Johnny Contrarian shows up, and then talks about how it's overrated.
No, Shake Shack is not overrated. But it's really good.
But it legitimately is. And I have to tell you this. For whatever reason, Anna Marie said this too, and I think this, and I would imagine those who have been to both would say it, there is a similarity in the taste of Shake Shack and Olive and Oaks Burger. And I don't know what that is. I think the bun is a very important part of the burger that you probably don't necessarily think about.
Yeah.
But now I've had, like I said, I've had it before. And it was just as good as, you know, having it wherever else I've had it. But
fries are great, too.
Yeah, you're right.
They're great.
What sort of fries?
Crinkle cut, Jack.
Crinkle cut, Jack.
Because you know what? Those ridges will hold the ketchup right on there for
you. That helps. Yep. Yeah, to have a little bit of texture there on the fry proper.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the move. If you want to go to Shake Shack, that's the move. So now I'm tipping people off. But
is it still a huge line there?
Yeah, I mean, it was freezing, and there were people out and then around on the corner,
not doing it.
On West Pine, I guess it is.
Although I love those cheeseburgers. Really
yeah, but
good.
I mean, you don't have to wait in the line. You don't have to wait in the line. You just have to place your order two hours out.
I don't know what these apps
Thank you, Billy Shack Lady. Thank you for the delicious fries.
Do people bitch at you when you walk in front of them, like you're butting in line?
No, because, you know, you're not butting in line. You're just having to walk through. You know, now we had a stroller, so there might be a little more sympathy. Empathy? Sympathy? Nurse?
Sympathy or empathy if they've been there. If they've had that situation themselves, I think you would be empathetic.
No, you can also experience a similar emotion not having gone through it and still have empathy.
Well, I suppose that's a possibility, but usually not when you're picking up burgers.
Plowsy breaks an ankle. You might not have broken an ankle, but you've experienced pain.
I've twisted it real bad.
You would
bad.
Have empathy.
Yeah, but I've sprained it real bad.
Let's be clear about our word definitions on this show. People hold us accountable.
All right. Does it say that perhaps there's a shortage of really good restaurants when people stand outside two blocks long
and
it's 5 degrees
Shake
outside?
Shake Shack is really good. It's really good.
Yeah, I mean, there's a line, you know, even in more, you know, it's hard to imagine other cities being more cosmopolitan than St. Louis, but even in Miami and New York, it's legit. I'd love to have, it's of course, I don't know if it's been possible, but to have Shake Shack, have In-N-Out. What else would we put in there? Like from the restaurant community, like more like the
chain.
Yeah, I guess if that
Five Guys was in there, I think I said Culver's.
Five Guys is that great.
Oh, I love Five Guys. Just with the fry combo.
I'll have to give it another run.
Good.
It's pretty strong, but I would take Shake Shack first.
I don't know if I'd go Shake Shack or In-N-Out. I think I'd go Shake Shack.
I'd go Shake Shack.
And I'll tell you what, if there's a tiebreaker, it's the fry, Jack. It's the fry.
Yeah, especially
those
with the
In-N-Out fries are a mess.
With the ketchup holding ridges.
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
You know, Doug, even a guy like you who has modest tastes would sit down and have some Shake Shack and admire the flavors of the burgers and the fries and say, this is a banquet fit for a king.
Really?
He would say that.
Okay. If it's so popular, why don't they open more of them?
That's Doug.
I mean, if you got people waiting in line to get in, you got other people who drive, show up, and say, "I'm not waiting," and go. How about another location or two?
Doug,
make more money.
Why don't you get in on that?
I'd love to get in on the Shake Shack phenomenon.
You got a lot of extra money.
Why don't you call Danny
Meyer
today?
Yeah,
tweet at him. He responds to tweets.
Does he?
Yeah,
sure.
Say, hey, name's Vaughn. You know me. You love me from my television work and radio work. How about awarding me a franchise?
I'd be all for that.
Doug, do you read your mentions and get in arguments with people on Twitter?
No.
I don't feel like you do.
No,
I don't see you doing that.
What's the point of arguing with someone on Twitter?
It's a great question.
Because you're not going to change your view. My thing is, once in a while, I'll throw out maybe something for them to consider, and if it doesn't work, then I give up. Or I will look at something in their profile and attack them for having big ears or something along those lines.
Well, yesterday, one of the things that's become a tradition, and this year was not
any different than previous years, especially ever since Twitter really came into the mainstream, I guess like 2011, even though I think I've had an account since 2009, but it was a little more wild, wild west in 2009 than it is now, even though you can get fired and have pitchfork mafias go after you for what you tweeted out in 2009. And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But is for people to argue about which college football conference is better based on bowl outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tradition.
Yep.
Fascinates me. It is something that you can count on the week between Christmas and New Year's, however, every year. And so this year, I noticed that it doesn't seem like, but maybe it's because we're not exposed to them as much. I don't know. But the Pac-12 people are never really active. Makes you think there's kind of a lot more going on over there on the West Coast, that they're not sitting on social media and arguing about the performance of 18, 19-year-olds in college football conference. But I might just be missing the passionate USC fan and passionate Oregon fan. But it's usually amongst the Big 12, SEC, and Big 10 fans. And so the Big 10 this year really was fired up because the Big 10 was undefeated going into bowl games. Mm-hmm. The final bowl game yesterday was Michigan, and then they lost. And the SEC had not been performing well. The Pac-12 was either winless or had won one. Plowhawk, do you know this off the top of your head?
They were 1-7 the last time I saw. I don't think they, yeah.
And so that was the thing going on yesterday. But now today, a lot of those people are unhappy because it's an all-SEC national championship game, making it. But now the goalposts have moved. Well, that just shows that the SEC's top heavy, as opposed to it shows that it's a great conference. So you can never win.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if there's a way that you want to spend that time between Christmas and New Year's, it's not with family or friends. It's by, you know, kind of sitting back on your phone or your laptop or iPad and getting a good argument with a guy with a dog avatar pick. About
what kind of dog? That it's a nice
schnauzer,
German shepherd.
Like schnauzers, right?
Schnauzers are nice, but if it's like a German shepherd, you go, nice dog.
Tough guy.
I step down.
Tough, yeah. Rugged guy.
And argue about which college football better.
Well, everybody's on their phone all the time now. I mean, whenever we sit down, everybody's watching TV, or you go out, even restaurants, everybody's looking into their phone.
Doesn't John Vaughn ask you how your day was?
No, he's looking into the phone. So I think everybody's arguing with somebody on Twitter.
I enjoyed it yesterday, especially now everybody's saying they need to go to 8. They need to go 8. You saw what UCF did, Auburn.
How do you look should've those go to kids 8. In the eye in Central
well,
Florida?
Even if they went to 8, they wouldn't have been one of the 8.
Yeah, they would
have. Well, see, no, they wouldn't. And I actually think this might happen, and I think with what happened this year, I think it increases the probability. In other words, the playoff system was not the byproduct of peace, so to speak. It became a necessity after a few years of people going, okay, this is kind of messed up with the BCS. And so I'd like to think that UCF winning yesterday was actually, now it depends on where you stand. I'm sure like Big Ten fans were pleasuring themselves over it for the people who get caught up in that. Like I said, I don't go, oh God, I got to pull for the Cubs now because they're in the National League Central. It's the strangest damn thing. And I think I could be wrong. This wasn't going on in the 1990s, I don't think. I think it's the product of Twitter and a combination of either arrogance from the SEC or envy from the other conferences over the SEC's success. And so then it allows it to come to the fore. Because I don't remember people arguing over conferences. I mean, if you went to Missouri and Kansas was playing in a championship game, I realize that's not really possible in football. But in general, you don't sit there and cheer for your rival. But in college football, that's kind of what's going on here recently. Like, you don't go, man, I'm pulling for the Cubs. It just would really represent the National League Central. Or, man, you know, I hate the Blackhawks, but, you know, it'll show good for the Norris Division, Doug. You remember the old Norris, don't you?
The Chuck Leafs. Norris Division.
That's right. So it's an odd thing, but it goes on. And so what I hope happens is you have the five Power Five conference champions automatically get in. So there is a clear objective roadmap into the playoff, and then three at-large teams determined by a committee which also seeds, with the contingency that if there is an undefeated group of five team, that that team also automatically gets in. And that way, every team at the start of the season has a roadmap to the championship, an objective way to get in, and I would play that championship game in the week between, on the weekend between the AFC-NFC championship games and the Super Bowl. And because right now, conference championship games really are more landmines than they are elements that can send you into the college football playoff. It can knock you out, but it really doesn't send you in. And I think that gives value there. And I think it also would give teams such as Central Florida a chance to compete in the national champion. I mean, Central Florida is an undefeated team that'll be watching two teams play for the national championship next Monday night who have lost to the team that they beat by seven. And, yep. and Scott
They beat
Frost,
three ranked teams, I think.
Well, what I'm saying is they beat Auburn, who beat Georgia and beat Alabama.
Right.
And Auburn, you know, lost by six at Clemson. So the point being, I think it is a system that rewards the blue bloods, the rich get richer, so to speak. It's what I remember interviewing Gary Pinkel about the Big 12 TV contract, and he was very candid about it. And so schools that like Nebraska and Texas at that time didn't want to see every game on television because it helped their profile to be one of the only schools that would be on TV weekly. Now, again, you're going, that Missouri wasn't on TV in college? Well, yeah, they weren't. It was infuriating to think this was going on, like in 2002. It wasn't that long ago. And now that's been changed. But, Central Florida only had a one top 25 win going in when all these seedings were, but they were undefeated. And so from that standpoint, I would love to see that be. And I think that's it. And then people go, well, there'll still be debate. That's fine. You're going to have debate, but at least you also have five objective ways to get in. And five teams who objectively win a championship, and if you're an undefeated group of five team, you go in.
And another benefit of that is they would stop playing these ridiculous non-conference games. Stop playing games where one team has no chance of winning. You could go 0-4 in your non-conference schedule and still play for the national championship.
But so you could be rewarded as one of the at-large teams if you go, well, you didn't win your championship, but you did beat Oklahoma in the non-conference in September.
Wouldn't it be much more interesting to watch a Missouri non-conference schedule if they played Kansas and Illinois and Iowa and some other natural geographic rival, as opposed to the Boone County College of Headless Leprosy Victims or whoever they play?
Well, that's because coaches across the board have job security in some capacity.
Well, that's why they do it now. But they wouldn't have to do it under this system. You wouldn't have to fear being upset in a non-conference game.
But what I'm saying is if the criteria is to win six games to get into a bowl, many schools follow the Bill Snyder model of the 1990s to stack up four wins. Used to be in September. Now it's spread throughout the season. And that's part of it. So,
and the team that comes gets paid a lot of money, so there's always willing participants in that.
It is, but it's a stupid system to set up a third of your schedule against teams where the competition isn't fair.
UT Martin, September 1st.
That's dumb. That doesn't make any sense.
And those bowl
games.
What
other sport do you do? I guess college basketball.
But here's the positive result. A lot of teams get to that 6-win plateau, and then you see great football in most of the bowl games.
You don't even pay attention to the bowl games.
What if you're betting on
every one of them? You don't even pay attention to the ones except the playoffs.
I truthfully believe that's the solution. I don't think it's outlandish.
If you're the number nine team and you're complaining that you didn't get in, well, okay.
But again,
you're the ninth best.
See, what we're talking about here is, and people are like, well, there'll still be debate. Well, there will still be debate, yes. But one of the great things about college football is debate. But also one of the problems with college football is that you don't have a clear idea of how you get into the championship. You can now clearly lose. I mean, back in the day, it was who went undefeated. Central Florida went undefeated. And it's not like Central Florida only beat butt-ass teams. Don't get me wrong. There were butt-asses in there. But they did beat a good Memphis team, and they just beat Auburn. Now, one of the elements of this that, you know, it will upset some people. I think some people understand where I'm coming from. It's not intended to be a shot by any means. But when you're betting on college football games, so this is just assessing the probability of these outcomes, one of the things you try to handicap is motivation. And it's a very difficult thing to handicap because you're assessing an intangible. So there's not a data point unless you're getting Gordon Gekko-like information. And so if you're Auburn and 3 weeks ago you were a step away from playing for the national championship after beating Georgia, then the blood donor you play in between Georgia and the Iron Bowl, and then beating Alabama in the Iron Bowl, and then you lose in the SEC championship game, and your reward is playing UCF, the motivation for Auburn can be questioned. And it's you can say that's BS, whatever, it's fine. That's one of the things that I assess when I'm looking at those kinds of games. That is not to take away from Central Florida. It's just something that, you know, would Auburn have performed like they performed, which wasn't certainly like how they performed most of the year against Central Florida, if they were playing against, you know, Oklahoma, you know, pick whatever team you would want to pick, Penn State, Ohio State, whatever the case might be. You know, I said a few times, and really the score didn't indicate it. They covered, so I won the bet, but I still feel like Penn State was one of the best teams in the country this year. Like national championship caliber team. It sounds like an outlier kind of discussion, but they have one loss after they blew a huge lead in Columbus, and they had the 4-hour delay game in East Lansing, and those are their only two losses, and that was in overtime. And it wasn't a surprise that they beat Washington, and it was never a close game. The score wound up being 7 points. But Penn State was in control of that football game, and because they had two losses, they were out of the mix. And so from the standpoint of getting teams in, if you know that you win your conference championship, I think that makes September more exciting from a non-conference standpoint, and then it also allows teams, even if they don't win their conference, to know that if they play good football throughout the course of the season, that they still have a chance. And I really do believe that's the solution. Plus, it brings the group of five in, so when you do have years like what we had here this year with Central Florida, that you get a chance to see them play and not just play and then go, God, we went undefeated, we just beat Auburn, and we're going to be watching two teams that lost to Auburn play for the national championship. That's effed up. And if it were, you know, one of the blue blood schools, people would be going bat crap because it's Central Florida. It's somehow rationalized. And I think it's unfortunate. So I'm hopeful that the fact that you didn't have the Big Ten conference champion in, and for those who really value bowl outcomes, they'll go, my God, you had a conference that went 7-1 in bowls, but their conference champion didn't get in. We've got to do something different here. And I just feel like that weekend in between the AFC-NFC championship and the Super Bowl is just, I mean, God, that's a goldmine for sports because there's nothing going on. Take advantage of that. And also, you know, give a path to the championship for every school and do so without eliminating debate, which is one of the best parts of college football. But now giving a clear, here's how you do it. Missouri, you win the SEC, you're in. Central Florida, you go undefeated, you're in.
Now, I don't know who argues with that plan, except maybe the people at the very top levels of the NCAA. I don't know who wouldn't like it.
They got to do something. You can't have an undefeated team that beat good teams.
Well, it's happened. It's happened in the past, and they didn't do anything about it.
You just think at some point.
Yeah, you've had an undefeated team that
didn't Boise State do that 1 year?
Did they go undefeated?
I think they did. And then
they
beat
didn't know nine.
Beat Oklahoma.
And that was the Statue of Liberty play was a thing.
Right.
That was it. Yeah. But they went undefeated.
There's got to be a slot for teams like that, and if a team gets snubbed or has an argument, again, debate is good, but you move it farther down the trough.
You're adding one possible game, I guess, to teams that are still in it. You have to go through one more round of a playoff.
You know, I've seen, and I didn't realize this, I went and looked at his picks, Clay Travis, he's been saying something somewhat similar. He's against the conference championship games. I'm for the conference championship. Here's where I'm coming from on it. It's kind of like the Bernie Sanders element of a political discussion. Like, you can say a bunch of good stuff, and it'll excite those who are into that particular philosophy, but realistically, you also have to be able to, quote-unquote, pay for it or to not take dollars out of people's pockets.
Nope,
in order
you don't
for
need
plan.
To in politics.
Well, if you really want to, if you're a CEO as opposed to a politician, you have to consider the finances. So to take away conference championship games would cost money. So therefore, that's not going to happen. to relegate the Bulls to them all being irrelevant would take away money. So you have to work with the system, which is why what is actually going on right now in college football is something that about 10 years ago, it's not like we came up with it, but I remember us having this discussion when we were above the sex shop with Charles Davis, for example, of using the Bulls as the semifinals and then rotate amongst the Bulls. And that's what you have. You have those that group of six New Year's Six Bowl games, and they rotate. So now Atlanta slash the Peach Bowl gets it this year, even though the Peach Bowl was yesterday, Atlanta being
and the Blazer guys keep their Blazers.
So you have to still incorporate the Bulls in there, but then just have the championship game be similar to what it is right now, with it being college football playoff championship game on the weekend between the AFC NFC championship and the Super Bowl. And what Clay is advocating is getting rid of the conference championship games. That takes money out of conferences. That takes money out of TV. Takes money out of advertising. That takes money out of the cities that host them. That takes money out of the hotels, the restaurants. That is not realistic. Then having the games hosted at the higher seeds, and I love the idea of it, but I don't think that that necessarily is realistic. I like the idea of, because what are you going to do, play a round robin? Like, what happens if Alabama and Georgia are both undefeated and there's no conference championship? Well, who gets the SEC championship? You know, he said there'd be some system to determine it. Well, no, play it on the field. That doesn't, that I don't think that needs to be fixed. What I would like to see for the purpose of the schedule is play the first round on the weekend of the conference championship, and then you could take away one of the non-conference games that are, because everybody plays a blood donor. But again, what does that do? That takes money out of the blood donors, but the bigger thing will be the bigger dollars that are taken out of the college campuses that will lose one of their games. So now you go to an 11-game schedule. So that's my idea for it, and I'd love to see it happen. And I actually think it. I hate to say within 10 years, because that sounds like a long time, but I think within 10 years that's what you'll see. And I also think that will be what it will be for a good long while.
Well, the one problem that could derail it is if you play that late. If you're playing late January, the next semester of these colleges has started, and how many of your players are not going to be eligible because they didn't get the grades in the first semester? Right now, they can all play. But once the grades come in, you got to have such a GPA to be eligible for the next semester. And if the next semester starts and you're playing a game, you might lose some of your players.
When does semesters currently start? When do the university, when is...
They start about mid-January.
That right?
Well, let them all be eligible then, right? That's the solution. Forget the grades.
Well, they'll find a way, I'm sure, to make sure that the star player... Oh, he did get a 2-0 after all. Yeah, he did. He's in.
Meantime, on Twitter, the president of the United States is taking credit for having zero commercial aviation deaths in 2017.
He didn't take credit for it. He took credit for it.
People are going nuts on Twitter.
He did not take credit for it. He just mentioned it. There wasn't a single passenger jet airline crash in the world with a fatality in 2017.
Wait, hold on. And I don't like to get political anymore. I don't care. I do enjoy reading some of his tweets because people go berserk. But he did take credit for it, Doug. He said, I've been very tough on aviation, and now there was...
Wait, read the tweet. Show me the tweet.
Okay.
He's been tough on aviation, and that's why there was no crash.
Hold on. What is it, the real Donald Trump?
Says, since taking office, I've been very strict on commercial aviation. Good news. It was just reported that there was zero deaths in 2017. Okay,
literally taking credit.
I don't know that's...
Come on. He took
all over the world.
Come on. Why would he say that he was very strict weren't trying to gain some sort of the credit?
Not the smartest thing to say. I don't know that you can read that in that he's taking credit for all of the airline safety.
Well, if you said it, I'd say stop trying to take credit for airline safety, Doug, if you said it. And the only reason I bring it up is because the responses he gets are over the top, mean, and lack of respect.
Yeah.
It's fun to read, though. But he did sort of take credit. Come on, admit it.
Again, I don't think that was a real smart thing to say. I don't know that he's saying, because of me, there were no airline crashes. That would be taking credit. Since taking office, I have been very strict on commercial aviation.
By the way, not related at all.
That there was zero deaths in 2017, the best and safest year on record.
Why does he do that?
I don't know.
How about this? The economy,
probably because it drives the economy, the other side crazy.
The economy's booming, right? So regardless of where you are politically, that's good. The economy's booming on a number of fronts. How about not tweet?
No, he's going to tweet because then everything doesn't have to go through the media.
I don't think the media was going to do a story saying zero aviation deaths. No, Thank you, Mr. President.
That's why he tweets, because he can control the message.
So the message is that he is sort of responsible for it in a way.
You can read that into that if you want. It's a stupid thing to say. I don't know that he's specifically saying.
I'm sorry. I just found it funny. Not trying to be political. We're all going to HE double hockey sticks in a handbasket anyway. Right, left, middle, we're all going down. But I do find that.
I do find that. Things are looking up in the country.
We're very divided.
If you like lower taxes and you like unemployment going down, if you like 70% cutoff in illegal immigration, if you like all that, then you'd think that things are looking up. If you can, what's going wrong right now? What's getting worse right now?
A lack of unity in the country. That's what's worse.
I had a great college football plan discussion going. I want that on the record.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. What happened here?
He just waved
airplane. The airplane stat.
I'm sorry. It's funny. I encourage everyone to look at that tweet and decide for yourself if there was credit trying to be garnered from that.
Since taking office, I have been very strict on commercial aviation. Oh, good news. It was just reported there were zero deaths in 2017.
Yeah. One thing had nothing to do with the other.
But do you notice in your daily life that the country is more divided? If you didn't read social media, would you notice it when you go outside and interact with people at
yes.
the grocery store? You do?
Yeah.
Why? How?
Well, because I have friends and stuff comes up out of the blue where they're going to start destroying Trump for no reason, not interested in getting involved in that, or that they're talking about, you know, things that are important to Trump. Yeah, I do see it.
See it in your daily life. I'm not saying
it's all encompassing. Well, you always do that when we argue. It happens all the time. Well, I said no. I see it every day. Something like that.
You do.
Out of the blue, someone needs to voice an opinion on me, which to me is a sign that there are two separate groups.
You really
doing
do
more.
Honestly run into the, you really yeah. do, that happens.
Weird stuff. Weird stuff. Like a friend of yours out of the blue will
like
just
like of mine.
No, I'm no. Okay, say right, me. Right. Out of the blue, like you're part of that team, will start like destroying Trump or the Republican Party.
People have argued politics.
I'm just saying, I sense that it's different now, and I sense more anger and vitriol on both sides. I'm not out of the blue. Someone will talk about something that's important to Trump's base, and I'm with that. I'm not. I'm just saying. But yes, I do see it.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could avoid it. I'm not talking about
tweets. I see it on social media. I don't see it in just going through my everyday life. I don't see people arguing at the grocery store.
I don't see people screaming at work.
I do see people arguing online. Again, people have argued about politics since the beginning of the country.
Okay.
It's clear that their people are more divided now more than ever, but they have a platform to
But I'm not
to
talking about
that.
I'm saying out of the blue someone will start twisting your ear about some where, it's life or death to you. I just don't remember that. I'm sure it's gone on. I know political discussions have gone on forever. I believe people are angrier and more blind that the other side might have a couple of decent points, too. We're so, it's either you're with this team or you're with that team, and the other side are idiots and are trying to destroy the country. I think we've become blinded that there's a middle ground. That's all.
I give credit to Scott Frost for coaching those kids, even though he took the Nebraska job.
How do you look them in the eyes? How do you look them in the eyes and say you're not number one?
That amputee linebacker, DN, was a beast.
It wasn't an amputee. Well, he was born with it. It was a perfect
okay.
effect, right?
Yeah. One hand. That was unbelievable.
How about the guy with the rec specs?
Oh, I've seen that guy in the game before. Great.
Who's that, Rodrigo Blankenship?
Blankenship. I couldn't think of the last name. Blankenship. And there was a punter by the name of Loudmilk, or Loudermilk, from UCF. I think Loudmilk. L-O-U-D-M-I-L-K.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys have nothing to hang your heads about except you strayed into politics and gave away this segment. Give that text today. It's 314.
I was just trying to, if it weren't political, I just thought it was funny that he took credit for aviation safety. Can't we just laugh at that?
Sure.
Okay. That's all I was trying to do.
I just think there's a lot of people saying, oh, the country's going to hell. And right now, the country's in pretty good shape. The economy's booming.
Well, I said that. I said booming. That. I said that.
No, I said that.
No, I said it.
No, I said it, and you said we're more divided than ever.
No, I said it earlier.
I said the economy.
No, you're
booming.
Wrong. Before you even brought that up.
Great.
Before you even brought
that up. Unemployment
you
is way down.
You can't argue.
Illegal immigration
no.
is way down. Things are looking pretty good.
No, what I said
no,
even before you said that.
We're more divided than ever.
No, actually, what I said before you even said that, the economy's going great. Can he not tweet? That's what I said. Because I was referencing the tweet, which is a silly thing to tweet, and I said the economy is going great. Can't he not tweet even before you said it? In actuality, mm-hmm. That's the truth. Now you can yell
that.
And scream and said you said it.
I don't remember
but you
saying
didn't.
How,
yes,
how
I
great
did.
Things are going right
check
now.
Check the tape. You may step down.
No, you may step down.
Not going to step down.
Well,
you step down.
You're
stepping down.
You have to step down first.
No, you step down.
You step down first.
Step down.
Jake Fromm could have won a 40 game for the Bulldogs.
I like his
career.
Nickname, Jake from State Farm. mm-hmm.
And why was
Cardinals
Oklahoma
better
squibbing?
Get a closer.
It?
Better get a
why,
closer.
Why did they squib the kickoff at the with like 12 seconds left in the first half?
The coach said it was just bad execution. He said it was not intended.
They gave him 3 points.
He said it was not intended to be an onside kick. They wanted to squib it and kick it like most of the way down the end zone, and the guy
bad
kicked
execution.
It wrong.
Why even do that? That kicker's been banging him out of the end zone the entire first half.
I know. I think it was a stupid play, too.
Trump just tweeted that he was responsible for the schematics on the defensive line for Alabama.
He really said
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Wow. See, sweet. That's where the division comes in, fake news. You are the prince of misinformation.
We need a break. Your thoughts are welcome. 855-282-8255 or email in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.